Welcome to Barca Talk. I'm Brian Henderson. Joining me is Alejandro Villegas.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. Today we're celebrating Barcelona's first trophy of the year. They went to Sevilla to face Athletic Club in the Copa del Rey final and came away with a 4-0 result. The scoring went Griezmann, De Jong, Messi, and Messi again for the fourth. And all of that scoring was in the second half. So to start off, this team has been getting steadily stronger since mid-February, I would say. That loss to PSG in their first leg against them in the Champions League seemed like something of a wake-up call, because since that game, Barca has not lost one, except for last week's Clásico. Mm-hmm. They've outscored their opponents 29-6 overall. We've all seen more joy and connection between the players. We've seen tactical shakeups. And so this just confirms what's been happening for a couple months already, this win.
Right. I mean, it's a first title for Ronald Koeman too. So that's a good prize for a guy that has been dealing with all the things that he's been dealing with this season. So yes, Barcelona has been playing better since December, I would say, after that loss against Cadiz. I know maybe after the one that you were talking about, the PSG, and then the one they lost against Sevilla, 2-0 in the first leg of the semifinals of this Copa del Rey as well. Those two results came when the team was playing really well in La Liga, but then we had these two games where, like, okay, some doubts came in, right? So that's when the 3-5-2 started to come out, and then we saw the best version of this team. And it's funny, because you were talking about last week's Clásico. We started with the 3-5-2 in El Clásico. It just didn't work in that first half. We couldn't really show the best side of this team, and Real Madrid got to us early in that game. But we have to agree that that 3-5-2 seems to be the best system for these guys that are right now playing for Barca. So I'm happy. I mean, I think this group really deserved a title. I think they really worked hard, especially in this Copa del Rey, man. How many times Barca came back in this tournament? I mean, they had to go to extra time against Cornellà. They had to come back against Rayo Vallecano. They had to come back against Granada. They had to come back against Sevilla as well, with that late goal by Piqué in the last minute, and then winning it in extra time.
It's been a journey. Yeah,
it's been a journey for Barca in this Copa del Rey. It's not like in the years before when Barca won and when they just went through everybody. This one was really a well-fought trophy. So
yeah, that
well
game against
earned.
Cornea, especially. That was yes. The one I think it was against Cornea, where you're playing on a municipal field. Like, this is yes. Like the kind of field that you and I have played pickup games on.
Right.
You know, it's just surrounded by chain link fence.
Yes. And they missed two penalties that day, remember?
Yeah. So that's quite a comeback to get back from all of that and then to go through all of these trials, all these extra times, all of these comebacks to finally be really dominant in a final.
Yes.
And even though they didn't have the scoring in the first half, they had chances. And then the dam broke in the second half and they get all of these goals. It became a real masterclass. Once Athletic felt, you could just tell that they felt defeated, I think, really after the third goal.
Yes. Well,
I think that's where it tipped over.
Yeah, and that was a golazo by Messi, where he got the ball in our own field, and then the way they built the entire play and the way Messi finished it. It reminded us, remember, and it was in a Copa del Rey final as well, and it was against Athletic Bilbao, that crazy goal that he scored at Camp Nou to also win that Copa del Rey against Athletic Bilbao. But this one was special too, because there's a lot of talk. We know what's going on with Messi, and we saw it. I mean, he really enjoyed that second half. He really enjoyed winning the title. Then after, in the interviews, it was, I mean, for him, it's also a little bit of relief, right? Because losing another final would have been really hard, especially after, I mean, we have to remember, we lost against this team in this same stadium in the Supercopa just a couple of months ago.
They lost not that long ago.
Yeah, Athletic Bilbao tied it late in the game, and then they won with that golazo by Iñaki Williams in the extra time. So we had that in the back of our minds. I mean, because that game, we had to remember, Griezmann scored the first goal, then they tied it, then Griezmann scored again, then they tied it back in the last minute. So it looked very similar to me, because this one, Griezmann scored first, and I was like, okay, here we go again. And Griezmann just loves to score against Athletic Bilbao. I think it was the 12th goal that he scored already against this team. It's his favorite victim. Messi loves to score against Sevilla, and Griezmann loves to score against Athletic Bilbao. That's just how it goes. So, yes, I agree with
you. The numbers don't lie. We know what they love.
Yeah, yes. And I agree with you that they felt defeated because, I mean, we saw the first half. We had a couple of chances. De Jong hit the post really early in the game. And I thought, oh, my God, here we go again. And then even in the beginning of the second half, we had a couple. Griezmann had one great save by Unai Simon. Then Busquets had one that I don't know how Unai Simon put his leg there and the ball somehow didn't go in. Pedri had a good shot from outside the box. And I was like, okay, we're close. But how many times have we seen this during the season, right? Okay, Barca is playing great. Barca is getting chances, and then the other team scores. So I was a little afraid that would happen, even though Piqué did a great job just making sure Iñaki wasn't a real threat throughout the game. But I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little scared because I've seen this happen with this team. When they play really well, and then they just don't come through. And then they have to suffer, come back. And we just went through what they did in the Copa del Rey. That happened a lot in this tournament. So,
yeah, I mean, I would say for me, until the second goal, I was just waiting for that shoe to drop, you know, just waiting for Athletic to get that counter. And even when they were 1-0 down, you know, just get the equalizer. And then from there, they can tip the momentum of the game back in their favor, which would be really sad, right? Because they were, I mean, you could tell that it was their game plan to give up the ball entirely. Like, they weren't even trying at all to be, you know, proactive. They were really just absorbing all the pressure, absorbing the attack, trying to look for those countering chances all through the first half. They managed to get through that one and then started the second half the same way. And even after the first goal, I think they still maintained the same game plan because they were thinking we could still get an equalizer and still, you know, get all the way through extra time, maybe, and get it to penalties. Worst comes to worst. But then after the second goal, they had to change their tactic. But I forget exactly where I was going with that. But
what I liked about this particular final is that Barca really got rid of the other team in 12 minutes. It was it looked like a storm. It was Barca at their best version in this. I think it was 12 minutes. Because they scored 3 goals in 8 minutes, 4 goals in 12 minutes, and that's just you're not coming back from that. I mean, there's no way you're gonna be able to, and especially Athletic Bilbao, a team that really struggles to score goals, even though they scored 3 on us in the Supercopa. I think it was more of errors that we could have avoided in that particular game, especially those. I mean, Barca suffers with those crosses. We saw it early. The only kind of chance that Bilbao had in the game in the first half was that cross after a foul and that cross to the box. And Barca tends to really suffer these type of crosses. But other than that, Barca was the better team. And that's just...
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, again, coming back to it, I think it's been a theme of this season. We've been the better team in a lot of games, and then we just don't come through. And I think it was Griezmann talking about it after the game, in the post-game conferences and all the interviews that they do after the game. And he was like, yes, we really struggled. And Messi said it too. I mean, we made a lot of mistakes early in the season, really dumb mistakes. And we all know that he was referring to, I don't know, Lenglet making a couple of penalty kicks here and there, Araujo losing the ball against Eibar at Camp Nou, letting Valencia tie to Barca at Camp Nou as well. That shouldn't not happen at any point. So, but this team is learning. And the other thing that I liked about this final is that we had so many young guys actually getting once again an opportunity to really be part of this type of atmosphere. I know it's nobody there. There's no public. There's no fans. It's not going to be the same pressure, right? But you're still playing a high-level final in an important tournament. So that's really good for your development. I mean, we all have seen Pedri, and he seems like not care about the opponent or the scenario in which he's playing. But the other guys, I mean, Mingueza earned a spot, and I was happy that Koeman really respected that and gave him the opportunity to play this game. I thought maybe Araujo was going to play, but I understood once Piqué was healthy, there was no way he was not in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Although at the same time, I have to say the whole time that Piqué was out injured and Araujo was playing,
yeah.
I mean, maybe at first it was a little questionable, but in not too long a period of time, I didn't miss Piqué at all,
right.
Which is to say, I mean, I still love Piqué, and he's mm-hmm. one of those legendary players who I'm always happy to see play.
Right.
That's not what I'm not saying, like, get rid of Piqué. I'm just saying, like, Araujo was doing a good enough job that I wasn't burying my head in my hand going, man, I just hope Piqué can get back
right.
as soon as possible. I just felt like Araujo was really holding it down well, and that, for me, is a really positive sign, because that means that there is a future. A bright future in that position with Araujo. We don't have to just rely on Piqué, and there's no plan for the future.
Yeah, we'll see what happens once everybody's healthy, right? Like, how are they gonna handle it? Especially in the last eight rounds of La Liga, we have. I mean, I don't know who's gonna be playing there, and we have to remember even Frankie de Jong had to play a little back with this 3-5-2. We had Frankie playing as a central defender, sort of. I don't know. He plays everywhere. He's just he's omnipresent.
Well, with this 3-5-2, like when we're pushing up forward, we'll leave just one center back, and you got Mingueza pushing forward along with Dest on the right. You've got Longley pushing not as forward as Mingueza, but still he's pushing forward along with Alba, and then Piqué is all by himself.
Right.
So you know it's natural that De Jong, for example, or sometimes Busquets, but mostly De Jong these days, will drop back in support. So it's a much more fluid defensive line, where part of the defensive line becomes an offensive line.
I really like the way Ronald Koeman has been testing different systems. We have to remember how this season started, and this is a good point to do it after a title, because everybody's happy and everybody thinks everything's right. But we have to remember this team started playing 4-2-3-1, and we were all like, okay, this is not going to be good. We saw how much Sergio Busquets suffered in this type of games, because it was Frankie de Jong going forward, and then it was him by himself in the midfield trying mm-hmm. to fight with the two or three other guys from the other team. So, and then we have to really agree that Koeman found a way. Okay, he went back to the 4-3-3, sometimes 4-4-2, and then he found this 3-5-2, probably in the perfect time, not for the Champions League, because sadly we didn't have that storm. Those 12 minutes, that wouldn't have been great if we did that in Paris, because we had the chances. I would say we had more chances in Paris than we did yesterday. If you look at it, it was just Navas was great and Dembele didn't come through in that particular game against PSG. But I remember Dest hitting the crossbar. Dembele had a couple ones. Then Messi scored that golazo. Then Messi missed that penalty that Navas saved. So we did have a lot of chances in that game. We just couldn't really convert. And that's what happened in this final. And that's what we all want to see. I mean, we saw it against Real Sociedad, how they scored six goals. And we're like, okay, this is more of what we want to see. And that's the thing. That's the thing. That's the hard thing in sports, right? To be consistent doing this, because it's obviously they're not going to score four goals every game. This is not Pep's Barca, right? But, I mean, I think if they're more effective, I think this is a good sign for this team, for the rest of La Liga, and then for the future. Depending on who comes in the summer, if anybody comes, and that will be another story. But I mean, I'm happy right now where the team is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was looking at the replays of all the goals that we actually scored.
Yeah.
I was also looking at the shots, and you know, like you said, in that first half, I would say of the six shots they took in the first half, there were four that were actually really good chances. Of mm-hmm. course, De Jong off the post, that was in the fifth minute.
Right,
Dest went wide. It was like not a well-taken shot a couple minutes later, but he mm-hmm. was in a good position at least. I think that had a lot of chance of success. And then you had a couple of shots from Messi in the first half. And we've talked about youth. We've mentioned Minguesa. There was the shot that was blocked from Messi where he got the headed assist from Minguesa on that play. I mean, just to focus on Minguesa for a minute, because I still don't think he's quite getting enough credit. It's amazing right. how he came out of nowhere
mm-hmm.
and he has locked down a position in this team. And it's partially thanks to him that this 3-5-2 can happen, because without yes. him, do we have three center backs?
No, probably not, because he's really fast, so he can recover and come back. We saw it at El Clásico. Besides, I mean, he obviously scored his goal, and that was great. But other than that, every time Barca was really suffering with those long balls and Vinicius running back, we saw Minguesa just hauling back and trying to get back on defense. And that's something that only him can do. We saw how much Dest suffered against Mbappé, for example. And that's a good comparison point there. And that leaves Dest just one job, right? Which is help on the offensive side and forget a little bit. I mean, of course, he's coming back sometimes and helping him back. But he knows that he has Minguesa in the back, so he can relax a little bit more and focus more on the other things that he has to do. So, yes, I agree with you. This 3-5-2 is just possible because we have a guy like Minguesa. With Araujo playing there, I don't know, with Piqué playing there or Roberto playing there, which could be an option, I don't know. I wouldn't feel the same way because they're just not as fast. I mean, they're probably yeah. better defending than Minguesa is, but they're just not as fast. And we have to go back even, now that I touched on Sergio Roberto, I remember Quique Setién, and I know I'm bringing back a ghost, but Quique Setién in his first game, we actually played with three defenders, and we had Roberto yeah. in that side. And that's funny to me because I remember that Setién just didn't stick to it. He just went back to the 4-3-3. But yeah. that was the first time that we actually saw this team maybe Luis Enrique playing with three in the back against PSG when we had to come back in the La Remontada and all that. But that was just a crazy moment that we had to go all for it. But
right. That was like a one-off glass in case of emergency situation. Exactly. It wasn't like a plan.
Exactly. So Setién was the first one that really put this on our minds. And then now Koeman really brought it to perfection, sort of, because it didn't quite work in El Clásico. So I want to see it against a great team. I mean, we saw it against Sevilla. We saw it against PSG. It really worked. The team played good. But I want to see a good game and a good result against a good team. I mean, this finals is a great performance, but I'm waiting for the Villarreal game or maybe the Atletico game in La Liga to see if we can really come through with a great game and a great result with this system. And I think Barca fans should be happy. I mean, especially after all that they went through. I mean, Barca Gate, Messi Gate, Barca Gate, elections. Oh my God, so many things going on.
So many gates.
Yeah, so many gates open. And now finally a title. I mean, it was almost 2 years without winning anything. So that's a long drought for Barca.
Yeah, and not only a title, but kind of all these other things that you've mentioned, right? Things have settled down. The elections are over.
Yeah.
Laporta's in place, whether or not, I mean, obviously the majority of voting members feel that that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's, you know, some minority who probably aren't too happy with that. I'm ambivalent about it myself. but at least there's stability now in the front right. office. We have a president. He's in place. And he's sort of a known quantity. We have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, we know what's going to happen. Think we know.
We know he's going to move heaven and earth to get Messi to stay. He's yes. going to do everything he possibly can
yes.
to meet all of Messi's demands and get Messi to stay, which is fine. I mean, he's a Messi fanboy for sure.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. And it just makes good business sense. He's still an incredible player. And he just brings in so much money for the club.
Right, right. And we have to remember, Messi came to Barca, to the first team, when Laporta was there. So they have that real special connection there. And you can see it, you can feel it. I mean, every time they're together, you can sense that there's no hard feelings or anything like we saw with Bartomeu. Every time Messi and Bartomeu were in the same room, it was a little awkward, right? We didn't
Very
quite
awkward.
Feel like, okay, this is the president and this is the best player on our team. why are they feeling that way about each other, right? But I mean, and yesterday the journalists asked everybody about Messi. Is Messi staying? Is Messi leaving? They asked everybody but Messi, because they knew Messi was not going to say anything about it. And nobody did. And I think at this point, nobody knows. I mean, who knows what Messi is going to do? Only Messi and his wife and maybe one of the kids know. But at this point, I'm glad that at least if he leaves, at least he's going to leave winning a tournament, and maybe even we get a doblete, which was not expected when we started. Not even when we started. In December, we didn't think we were going to have a shot at La Liga. So
right
now, 8 rounds to go, we are right there, 2 points away from Atletico, 1 point away from Real Madrid. So I think it's, if Messi leaves, at least he gave the club one last title or two last titles. And that's going to be a nice farewell, even though no fans are going to be there, which is the other sad part if he leaves right now. But other than that, I think it could be a closure. I don't know. You can look at it a couple of ways, right? It could be a closure, a perfect closure, because he wins a title. Now he can leave like Pep Guardiola or Luis Enrique did, winning titles, which were two really good eras for Barca. And now, but we'll see what happens. I mean,
It is better to leave on a high note. It's
right.
Better to leave if you've won something rather than, you know, being sort of pushed out Setien or Valverde style, you know,
right,
mid-season, or, you know, at the end of a bad season where you didn't win any trophies, and it's kind of it almost feels like disgrace, even though it's not really fair to put that on them. But, you know, that's kind of how it feels. It's way better to leave having won a trophy. And particularly if you're Messi, ideally, you want to leave at the end of a good season where you've won at least one trophy and you've still performed well. You've still shown your quality, and you don't want to just dissipate and to the point where even Iniesta did that. He was still playing really well when he left, and I think that was a good time for him to go. I think that's how he felt about it. But Messi definitely still has some good years in him. You know, he's beyond that, you know, multiple Ballon d'Or winning Messi, but he's still a great player. This is something I've been thinking about Messi. He's great. He's great. And he's still great. He always will be. And he brings a certain kind of vision on the field and an imagination that no other player has. He's irreplaceable for that. In terms of just general, like, performance and, like, what he can bring, if you just look at his numbers, if you just look at him statistically, if you take all the history away, you take all the halo around him away, he's a very good player.
Yes.
But he is not necessarily the player that you absolutely have to have. And I'm just thinking, like, there's only one Messi, and there are lots of teams out there who do really well without Messi.
Yes.
Right? And with all this youth we've been seeing coming up, with all these new developments we've been seeing, I think that this team could still essentially continue this project and begin to thrive even if he decides to leave.
Yeah, I mean, the Barca can be competitive without Messi. I think that's, especially with the guys that we have right now and the guys that we should be getting in the future as well. And Sufati should be coming back after his long-term injury, and that should be a guy that we can focus on. Dembele can be better. Griezmann can be better, can take a little bit of that responsibility. I mean, I don't know. We have good players, and we have a good system to rely on. The thing with Messi is that even though he's not that peak Messi, as you just called it, I think he's still the best player, not only in the team, but maybe the best player in La Liga right now. So, it's hard. I don't know, man. It's gonna be fun to watch how they do it without Messi, but I don't know. I feel a little bit skeptic about it. We'll see.
well
see
sure.
Yes.
I mean, because, like you said, it's a known thing. Like, you know what he's going to bring, and you know it's going to be good. It's. I'm not saying that you or I, or I'm not saying that I want him to leave. I want him to stay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that if he decides to leave, I'm not so scared as I might have been 6 months ago.
Well, it's a better moment right now than after the 2-8 against Bayern. I mean, that was just a horrible moment for the entire institution, from players to coaches to the board to the fans, for everybody. So now, leaving the team on a high note, I mean, at least you gave 1 year to young guys to really teach him something on the pitch and leave some sort of a legacy for them to build up on and have a reference on how to do things and how to approach certain moments of the game. Because, I mean, without Messi, of course, we don't get this Copa del Rey. He was key in so many different games with so many different plays. But I agree with you. This team without Messi, the way they're playing, it looks like they could still work, right? They could still have a team that can be competitive in La Liga, at least. I don't know about the Champions League, but in La Liga, it could be a team that can really, really bring it to the other guys, to Atletico and Real Madrid. But I don't know, man. We'll see. If I know they're trying to bring Erling Haaland. All the big clubs are trying to buy a guy like that. Real Madrid's looking into Mbappe as usual. Neymar is linking around us. Always happens every time summertime comes out. I don't know. Barca doesn't have a lot of money, so they have to be really creative about what they do, because the highest paid guys, Griezmann, Coutinho, could be on their way out if you're going to bring a player like that, that you obviously have to pay a good amount to in salaries. But if Messi comes out of the payroll, that could be another relief. Just talking about the economic side of things, that could be another relief, so they can bring
it would
a
definitely
guy
free
like
up
this.
Some cash.
Yes. So depending on how you look at it, I mean, Gabriel has been very vocal about it. He would have sold Messi a couple of years ago, I think, for 500, 700 millions, I don't know, whatever. And maybe the team would be in another position financially. But I don't know, man. Messi's just so much more than just the best player on the field. He's really a representative of the institution. And we saw yesterday, every guy on that roster wanted a picture with Messi. I mean, they see him every day in training. It's not like us walking by Messi or, oh, let's get a picture. No, it's the guys that
see
him.
I'm never going to have this chance again.
Right. So, I don't know. It was funny. I've never seen anything like it with any other player. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but that's how I see it. I don't know. It was weird that moment when he was standing there with the cup, and he was just taking pictures, and players were coming by, picture, next player, picture. That was just funny to me.
Part of it has to do with the selfie culture. You know.
Okay, it could
be. I think
that's
part of it. Yeah, like I think our social media sort of informs that if it were Maradona and we had all of the social media that we have, who knows?
Right? Yeah, it could have been a similar situation. Yeah, that's true.
Back in his day, it's possible. But I think one really special thing that came up for me in this game was in actually the first goal. So like something that for me actually changed between the first half and the second half was actually that Barca did start to move the ball a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. They were taking fewer touches in between passes. They were moving off the ball a little bit quicker. But also there was something in that first goal that I've been sort of waiting to see more of. Because when Messi gets the ball, a lot of times, if he's anywhere near the box, he's going to get at least double teamed, sometimes triple teamed.
Yeah.
And conceptually, for me, that means that there must be some space open somewhere else, right? If you got three guys closing in on Messi, there must be some space that someone can run into, that he can pass into, that's going to open something up. Sometimes they close that space off. They close off his passing lanes to those spaces while also closing him down, so it doesn't necessarily work. But so rarely do we see anyone running into the space that's left open by those defenders closing in on Messi. And in that first goal, this is where I finally sort of got what I've been hoping for, where the defenders are closing in on Messi and Dest runs into – or was it Dest? Yeah, it was Dest. Dest was actually playing inside. Yeah, the thing.
Dest ran into the box and then opened that space for Frankie to go on the outside.
Yeah, and I think that was the big thing. They kind of overloaded the space around Messi, right? So Dest was playing inside. He goes into the box. The Messi gets tripled up on, and then that leaves all this space for De Jong. Messi can pass into that space, and now De Jong has just a free cross. He can take that extra moment to really dial in that cross. Meanwhile, Griezmann is just sort of like floating in from outside. Lecouye lost track of him. his spacing with Alvarez right next to him gave Griezmann this great window for tapping in De Jong's cross. But none of that's going to happen if, you know, you don't have Messi's.
Right.
A player so threatening that you're going to triple up on him.
Yes. So that's the thing about not having Messi. I know it goes beyond just goals scored and assists, because in this particular play, he doesn't get an official assist, even though he made the key play to actually give Barca a chance to be in the best position to score a goal. And this happens so often when Messi makes the play so the other guy can cross it and the third guy scores the goal. And we've seen it thousand times with Alba and with Suarez and with all the great players that Messi has played with. And here's the thing. You have to have a player like De Jong that's really good attacking those type of spaces. We saw him. I mean, we've seen De Jong playing this season everywhere, I guess. But at some point in the season, we saw him really attacking the box because we just didn't have a reference there. These are the times when Griezmann used to play nine or Braithwaite used to play as a nine. And we really didn't have a guy really getting from behind, and that was Frankie de Jong. But the guy that can find these type of players, that's Messi. I mean, I haven't seen maybe Xavi or Iniesta back in the day could be that type of a player that can really see these type of spaces. But other than that, it's just Messi. And you talk about the first goal, but even the third goal, the way Messi found space in that particular play is just unbelievable. I mean, he was on his own field. He came back. He got the ball. He gave it to De Jong in a tiny space. De Jong gave it back somehow. Then Messi gave it back again. And then Frankie de Jong paused for a little second, gave the ball back, and then Messi just... He did whatever he does with every defender when they're in the box. But you have to have that combination. And that's the thing that scares me with not having Messi in the future. Because, of course, we're going to have Frankie. We're probably going to have Pedri as well. But I don't know. I don't think they have the same vision that Messi does. Even Busquets, who is a great passer, he just doesn't have that same ability that Messi does. It's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully it's in the far future, but we have to be prepared for everything. We don't know.
Right. I mean, it's an inevitability because that's how time works.
Yeah.
But so it's just a question, like, are we going to be having to deal with this next season or three seasons from now? That's the only question. It's not a matter of if, but when.
Exactly.
So let's close this out. It's all La Liga from here on out. We're only 2 points behind Atletico. And we still have to play them in 3 weeks' time. But this week, we have Getafe on Thursday and then Villarreal on Sunday. How are you feeling about these two games coming up?
Well, it's hard that it's two games in 3 days almost. So it's going to be rough. Koeman has to rotate somehow, thinking about, because Villarreal is in fifth place right now. They're playing well. Even though Barca has done well against them in the last couple of years, I feel that's a dangerous match. And remember, we lost against Getafe in the first round. It looked like it was more than a year ago because it was the beginning of the season. The team was still settling in. And that game is at Camp Nou, which should give us an advantage, even though we've lost so many points at Camp Nou this year, tying against Valencia, Eibar. I don't even remember. Cadiz also tied at Camp Nou. So...
haven't managed to beat Cadiz this year. Got a loss and a draw.
Right, yes, they lost. Exactly. They only scored 1 point out of six against Cadiz. And they're fighting for relegation. But that happens. I mean, Madrid also dropped a couple of points here and there. Atletico drops points here and there. It's how the league goes. But I'm not going to say scared, but I'm worried about these two games in 3 days because that's where you have to give some guys a chance to play, and this is where it's good to have Piqué and Araujo healthy, so you can rotate there and you can be creative with it. Even with Mingueza and Sergio Roberto or Roberto and Dest, you can like mix it up a little bit there because these guys have been playing all the minutes, especially on defense. These guys have been the ones that play all the minutes because that's how it goes in soccer. So I'm really excited about this last eight rounds in La Liga, because I think it's going to be, I think they all are going to drop points. This is not 10 years ago where the three teams were really, really good and they wouldn't miss any points. And you guys remember that Liga that we lost against Atletico at Camp Nou? Those teams were more consistent than these three teams right now. So I think the three of them are going to miss points somewhere along the way. I mean, they haven't been that great machine, just nobody can beat them. And no, that's not the case with any of the teams. So it's just a matter of who can be more consistent at this point. And it looks very similar to last year's La Liga, right? When we got after the COVID break, if you want to call it that way.
Yeah. The hiatus.
Yes. Both teams were kind of in the same situation, right? They both were fighting for the title. They were not very good at that point. They were just struggling, both teams, and they got to this point. I feel the same way about but now it's a three-way competition, which makes it a little bit more exciting. And that game against Atletico is going to be key, of course, and whatever happens there. But I don't know. I'm a little worried about this Getafe and Villarreal, almost a back-to-back games like they do in the NBA when they play two or three games in 3 or 4 days, which is crazy. I don't know. Yeah. I'm a little worried. We'll see if Koeman uses Ricky Puig, for example, or Pjanic, which two guys that didn't even make the list for the game on Saturday. So,
yeah, those two are definitely well-rested.
Yes, they just, I mean, depending on how much they celebrated, but yes, they should be fine for Thursday's game. And I don't know, we'll see. I'm worried because they're too close, and the second game is Villarreal, which is a little harder for Barca. And if I'm not mistaken, they're playing away, right? Because they did play Villarreal early in the season at home. So it should be Getafe at home and then Villarreal away, which makes it a little bit more difficult for Barca. Because Barca, before they got into this great run since December, they don't lose they lost in El Clásico, but taking away El Clásico, they won all the rest of the games away. And this is a dangerous place to go there in La Cerámica and play Villarreal. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how they do.
I don't know. I feel like the home field advantage or the away field disadvantage has been slightly diminished because of the empty stadiums. Mm-hmm. The fact that the surroundings aren't as familiar as your home ground and maybe the dimensions are a little bit different will have an influence on that. But I think the crowd is what really makes playing away the hardest. So when you take that away, it seems like every fixture of this league has been
levels,
a little bit more equal.
It levels the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But we will we'll be back next week to talk about whatever happens with those. And until then, Visca Barça.
Bye-bye, Visca Barça.